Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 26th, 2024. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Witchway Magazine. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Painting is not just changing the things outside of us. First of all, we need the right view that transcends all notions, including of being and non-being, creator and creature, mind and spirit. That kind of insight is crucial for transformation and healing." From Thi Han. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from news.com. 50 killed in anti-sorcery rituals after being forced to drink mysterious liquid, Angola officials say. So about 50 people died in Angola after being forced to drink an herbal potion to prove they were not sorcerers, police and local officials said Thursday. And this was March 14th. The deaths occurred between January and February of this year near the central town of Kamakopa, according to Philmon, a local councillor. Police confirmed that 50 people have died. Speaking to Angola national radio broadcaster, Philemon accused traditional healers of administrating the deadly concoction. Quote, "More than 50 victims were forced to drink this mysterious liquid, which, according to traditional healers, proves whether or not a person practices witchcraft," she said. Belief in witchcraft is still common in some rural Angolan communities, despite strong opposition from the church in the predominantly Catholic former Portuguese colony. Quote, "It's a widespread practice to make people drink the supposed poison because of the belief in witchcraft," unquote, provincial police spokesperson Antonio Hosi told Radio Network, warning that cases were on the rise. Now, Angola does not have laws against witchcraft, which just leaves the communities to deal with the issue as they see fit, which is frustrating. Allegations of sorcery are often settled by traditional healers or marabouts by having the accused ingest a toxic herbal drink called mulungo. And death is believed by many to prove guilt. Now, let me tell you why this is frustrating. Last year, Bishop Firmino David of the Sumbi Diocese in Angola told ACI Africa that socioeconomic challenges in the country are forcing some to resort to witchcraft because they believe that with witchcraft they can get what they want and thus free themselves from poverty. So this bishop encouraged fellow Angolians to help rescue people to try to make a living from practices that are harmful to society, including witchcraft and drugs. And during a 2009 trip to Angola, Pope Benedict urged Catholics to shun witchcraft and sorcery. That's why I wanted to bring up this news article, because there's clearly a belief in Angola where communities are encouraged to handle it themselves, where there's a fear of witchcraft, and to prove yourself innocent of witchcraft, you have to drink this poison. If you survive the poison, you're not a witch. If you die, you're a witch. And what's frustrating is that clearly the Catholic Church, which seems to have a lot of power in the area, recognized that there is socioeconomic issues. People are in poverty and people are desperate. And instead of, I don't know, helping, the church said, "Hey, I know you're all struggling, but like, I know you'll be tempted to do witchcraft, but like, don't do witchcraft. And it's your responsibility to make sure nobody does witchcraft," in response to these people struggling and being in poverty. So I'm not like blaming, but I am blaming. It's frustrating. Anyways, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, April 26th. The waning gibbous moon continues to consider whether to be or not to be in Sagittarius today. Here, the moon trines Mercury and squares Saturn. I'm sure it'll be a relief to you to hear that Mercury is stationing direct today. We can let out a collective sigh of relief. Mercury does still have to contend with its shadow period for another couple of weeks, but at least moving in slow motion is better than moving backwards, am I right? The moon's trine to Mercury has us finally able to say what we're feeling, but the square to Saturn reminds us that there's still a lot of cleanup to do. This has been one heck of a Mercury retrograde ride, as it conjoined a solar eclipse in Chiron, was ruled by Mars, and slowed all the way by Mars's conjunction to Saturn. We've likely been quite frustrated by the pace, and rightly so. But get ready, because after today, we should see the speed pick up significantly. So treat the Saturn square as it truly is, a needed break before we punch the accelerator. Your daily moon mantra is, don't let yesterday take up too much of today. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
So one of our listeners, Rachel, kind of suggested that she would really like to hear about tarot crimes. And since it's Friday and Friday is a little bit of a free day, we kind of go off book a little bit. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that for you, Rachel. Basically, she wanted this other podcast to do it. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it. So today we're talking about tarot crimes. So we're going to talk about two different cases. And first, we're going to talk about one that, where does this come from? This is from 2016. Tarot card leads killer to confess to murder. Yep. And this is from WTSP.com. And this is from Brighton, England. So for 10 days last year, 2015, a man went about his life as his roommate lay dead on the kitchen floor of the home they shared. It wasn't until he went to a tarot card reader where his card reading revealed the devil that he confessed to murder. Last week, star Randall Hansen was jailed for life with a minimum of 15 years after being convicted of murder after a 2-week trial at Croydon Crown Court in England. Randall Hansen had stabbed his roommate, Derek Marnie, to death and left his body on the floor. During his card reading at JJ Tarot in the seaside community of Brighton, England, the 10 cards he picked out of the deck of 52 included death and justice. He broke down as Jane Baden read the third card, the devil. She said he started crying after that. The first was the tower, falling out with somebody, a really serious row. Then there was the emperor, a dominant male. Then the devil card means obviously something awful. He broke down And I said to him, "Look, I can see here that this is not good. You need to tell me everything. Let's talk." He said, "It's terrible. I killed him." He told me that he killed him, but he did not mean to, and that it was awful. Brayden calmly told the 56-year-old that she would have to tell the police and asked whether he would mind before stepping out of her shop to do so. He handled that like a boss. The calmness she handled that with is bar none. What a queen. It took about an hour for police to arrive because the dispatcher downgraded the call to a non-emergency, and officers believed her call on May 5th, 2015, a bank holiday, and thought it was a hoax. So she said, "The call handler told me it would take up to 55 minutes. I said, I can't hold him here. I think I thought they would be here in like 15 minutes. So then I came back and asked him if he wanted a drink. So I went next door and said, 'Don't ask, but can I please have a bottle of water?' I did not raise the alarm to anyone on the seafront because they would have panicked. So I did not say anything to anyone. It would have made the situation worse. I gave him the water and then we sat chatting." He took notes as Randall Hansen discussed his relationship with Marnie and other parts of his life. Police eventually arrested Randall Hansen, and when they went to his apartment, they found Marnie's body on the kitchen floor. Brayden said she did not feel threatened by the murderer and felt it was her duty to keep him there until police arrived. Quote, "I knew I had to keep him there." A tarot reader for 25 years, Brayden has seen it all. Marital problems, secrets, troubles, people confide in her, all kinds of things. But until now, never a murder. Having cast her eye on all 10 cards, she could see before his confession where things were going. "I saw the sentence at the end, so I knew it was something he would be put away for," she recalled. Yet as the confession tumbled out of him, she stayed calm. "I wanted to keep it calm," she said. "There were loads of children. It was a family day on the seaside. Me going out there screaming would not have helped anybody." After giving him the water, they sat at her table with about 1 foot between them. "I asked him the name of the deceased, where he had worked, where the wound was, where the knife was. He was getting upset and started crying." During the trial, the court heard how Randall Hansen and Marnie, 70, met at a spiritualist church in Brighton. A year later, Marnie invited him to move into his apartment for company. Randall Hansen claimed Marnie had sexually assaulted him 3 times. He said he must have stabbed Marnie after the older man confronted him while making sandwiches, but denied murder. In the tarot shop, Brayden did not ask him about specifics of the crime. She wanted to keep things calm, keeping out for the police. In court, Brayden was a key witness where she showed the cards he had picked, although the ones about justice were kept from jurors. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. It was in court she first became aware of the brutality of Randall Hansen's attack. She said, despite their rapport, she had no sympathy for him. "I formed a rapport because I had to. I knew what I was doing. I knew that I had to keep him there. I knew that it was my duty as well, and I am big on duty. I can let petty things go, but that is my duty." From game to means of divination, tarot readers claim to use cards to gain insight into people's pasts and futures. And then they go on to just explain what tarot cards are. But yeah, oof, could you imagine? I'm going to be honest, that's a big one. That's a big one. Can you imagine just be like, "Oh, it's fair day at the shore," and then bam, now you're being confessed to a crime? Wild. So this one is a little bit more recent. This is from 2023. A TikTok psychic and a professor are facing off over an outrageous true crime conspiracy. The Texas tarot card reader's outrageous claim has resulted in months of legal proceedings in federal court and a wild attempt to countersue. So I actually talk about this case in my ethics class. If you took my Lenormand class series last year, I end it with an optional ethics class, and we talk about this case. So Yeah, this is a big one. So for those of you who don't know, 4 University of Idaho students were murdered. And before they had really cracked down on the suspects, as TikTok likes to do, people who were claiming to be psychics on TikTok were trying to solve the crime using their tarot cards. I show you quite a few videos of this in the ethics class. Maybe I should do like a brief date on that if anyone's curious. So actually, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to put up one ethics class for next weekend. So if you're interested, go to tanyabrown.schedulisa.com. I'll just do it's only an hour. It's very quick. But if you're curious about taking a class on ethics so you don't end up in the news for being sued for doing readings, check it out. So, yeah. As Brian Kohlberger's murder trial approaches, Brian Kohlberger is the man who they suspect to have killed the University of Idaho students. So as his murder trial approaches for the stabbing of these students, a legal sideshow is taking place. A history professor's defamation lawsuit against a TikTok psychic who claims, without any basis beyond her spiritual investigation, that the professor perpetuated the mass killings. Ashley Guillard, a Texas tarot reader, said in a series of TikToks that University of Idaho professor Rebecca Schofield was having an affair with one of the 4 victims and orchestrated their killing to cover it up. Again, there's no evidence of this. Even a judge has called it an outrageous claim, but it's resulted in months of legal proceedings in federal court and a wild attempt at Guillard to countersue the professor. Guillard began leveling her accusations about 10 days after Madison Mojan, Haley Consalves, Zaina Kernodle, and Kernodle's boyfriend, Ethan Chapin, were killed in their off-campus home in Moscow, Idaho, in the early hours of November 13th. Despite the preposterous claims of Guillard, they gained traction, or at least attention, as her TikTok gained millions of views. The killings coincided with the height of a new era of internet sleuthing. People are hungry for true crime content, and TikTokers are happy to feed that appetite. So one of the most popular types of TikToks, makeup tutorials, fused with true crime, with people dissecting and theorizing cases while they dot their faces with their new makeup palette, is becoming very popular. So as weeks went by with no suspect publicly named, the frenzy of theories only increased. And this is before Brian Kohlberger was suspected for the killing. So at this point, when all this is happening, no one really knows what's going on yet. It's still brand new. So again, with no suspect publicly named, the frenzy of theories only increased. Police were forced to dispel a number of rumors spread by TikTokers and other social media platforms who doxed innocent people, harassed local business owners, and made villains out of victims. While most amateur crime solvers follow clues, Guillard relied on her psychic intuition and tarot cards. As U.S. Magistrate Judge Raymond Edward Pacheco Jr. pointed out when rejecting her recent counterclaims against Schofield, her spiritual research based on tarot readings led her to the University of Idaho History Department, which Schofield chaired and spiritually inquired into each person listed on the website. Guillard said she zeroed in on Schofield using her intuitive abilities. In TikTok after TikTok, Guillard insisted that Schofield had been romantically involved with Gonsalves and enlisted her ex-boyfriend to kill her and her friends. Again, there's no evidence of this. None of these people knew each other at all. Schofield's attorney sent Guillard 2 cease and desist letters on November 29th and December 8th, demanding she stop posting and remove all defamatory TikToks and apologize to Schofield. Guillard refused, and as Schofield's defamation suit notes, posted more than 20 new TikToks after getting cease and desist letters continuing to paint Schofield as a mastermind behind the killings. Schofield never taught any of these students. She didn't know any of these students. She was literally just a professor who happened to have a picture that I guess was striking to this TikToker. The defamation suit filed December 21st, 2022 claims that Guillard used the community's pain for online self-promotion, which could be said for many TikTokers, whether deliberately or simply insensitive to the facts that their wild speculations have on innocent people. Guillard continued making the claim even after Kohlberger was arrested, saying that he was just a pawn in Schofield's alleged scheme. Kohlberger, the actual person who is suspected for the murder, has pleaded not guilty to the killings. And though many questions remain about the case, the grand jury found enough probable cause to indict him in May. So Schofield, the professor who has taught at the University of Idaho since 2016, was actually in Portland, Oregon with her husband and friends the weekend of the murders. She asserts in her lawsuit that neither the victims nor Gonsalves's ex-boyfriend attended any classes that she taught. She doesn't recall meeting any of them. And Guillard, who lives in Texas, has never even been to the town in which any of this has ever happened. In the defamation lawsuit, Schofield's attorney said that Guillard's TikTok account, which has been taken down, had more than 100,000 followers. And some of her TikToks claiming Schofield was responsible for killings had 2.5 million likes. As a result, the lawsuit alleges Schofield's name was linked to murder in a basic internet search, tarnishing her reputation, making her the subject of online ridicule and threats, and causing fear for her and her family's safety. Guillard's statements have caused Schofield significant emotional distress, and the defamation lawsuit says that she fears for her life and the lives of her family members. So yeah, Schofield is now facing legal bills. And a friend organized a GoFundMe to help her handle this, considering she literally did nothing. Yeah, this is really terrible. Now, Guillard, the tarot reader and TikTok person, tried to countersue her. Basically for no reason, just portraying herself as a victim, saying that her tarot readings is a part of a religion. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Schofield actually won the suit because Guillard, the reader, like never showed. But I'm actually going to redo my ethics class now that we're talking about this, and it's going to be not this weekend but next weekend. So. This weekend. So it's going to be this weekend. I'm going to do a session on the 28th, probably around noon. So if you're interested and you want to join, it's a really quick little class. It's 1 hour. We talk about how you can be an ethical reader, someone who isn't scamming people, someone who isn't taking advantage of people, someone who isn't going to land yourself in this situation. So if you're curious, go check that out. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Christy Hendrickson. Christy, you poetic, glorious mongoose. Vanessa, you hospitable, playful banshee. Kim Bose, you glittery, insidious spider queen. And Brandon Charles, you spiffy, luminous dragon. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a live show on Sunday. Oh, perfect. So Sunday's going to be packed. So we're going to have a live show on Sunday. So we'll have the class in the afternoon, live show in the evening. Perfect, perfect. And that's all I've got for you today. We do have a card pull before we leave. Our card is Eight of Diamonds from the Jane Austen Tarot. Quality. Two people attend to the tasks of housework, taking pride in finer details. And we will talk again Monday.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.